Support comes from Columbus Food Adventures, offering guided tours of Columbus's food scene. Columbus Food Adventures offers 7 distinct eating tours, including itineraries focused on ethnic cuisines, historic neighborhoods, and taco trucks. Group or private tours available. More information and tickets at columbusfoodadventures.com.
And good morning, I'm Erilyn Smith. This is All Sides Weekend. We're talking about food and restaurants here in Central Ohio. A number of new restaurants and food-related businesses have just opened or soon will. And we're seeing a proliferation of small plates on local menus. What's the difference between a small plate and an appetizer? We'll talk about that. And some gluten-free food sources, those topics, your questions, as All Sides Weekend gets underway. Joining me this morning, WOSU food reviewers Rich Terapak, his son Rich, and Steve Stover, who's a contributor to Edible Columbus magazine. Should we start with small plates? What is the difference between an appetizer and a small plate?
I was trying to define gastropub, too, but it's the hottest thing, I think, and I thought it might wear itself out, but I think it's just been exploding, and the new issue of Crave magazine has a feature on 25 toppest places, and John Christensen had a glowing review of Manifesto, which is all small plates as well, almost, and I guess the allure of small plates is that Michael Mina, the famous chef from San Francisco, says really all of your interest in the food comes from the first 5 bites. And so the idea here is why do the standard salad, entree, dessert when you can try 3, 4, or 5 things at a probably a lower cost? Although Cameron Mitchell once said, I want to be sure before I do a small plates restaurant that I can get the check to where it needs to be to cover the cost. So there is something to that, but it's the hottest thing in town. And
yeah, I think there is a bit of a difference between small plates and appetizers. I think small plates are essentially small entrees, almost less than half size. But for instance, at Manifesto, I had the beef cheeks a week ago, and it was great. It could have been, if it were twice the size, easily an entree. It was on some risotto. It was wonderful. But as opposed to an appetizer, which more bite size nibble kind of things to kill your appetite, probably.
Yeah, I've always been a huge fan of this style of dining. I used to live in San Francisco in the early 2000s, and out there, there always seemed to be a little bit ahead of food trends, and this was just starting to pick up back then out there. And I think it's a terrific way to eat. Like Steve mentioned, you really do only taste, really significantly taste the first 5 bites of what you eat. I love doing this. I love that it's creeping into the Columbus food scene, and it's not just, tapas bars or ethnic places that are doing this.
It's not just entrees. It's desserts,
right.
It's breakfast. It's
and
all
it's,
sorts
it's
of
moved
things.
Into bars and gastropubs where, they really encourage people to eat as groups and to share. Sharing used to be kind of frowned upon in the restaurant business. Now, they're embracing it, and I think it's a great thing.
And I think my thinking is the last couple of years, the appetizer or the first course menus at restaurants have been more interesting than the entrees. And why not try 3 different things rather than having a salad and an entree? I mean, and sometimes I'll just skip dessert and graze on the small plates. They do vary significantly in cost from dim sum, which might be $2 or $3 per piece, and some tapas are like the deviled eggs and stuff like that, to some we had at Veritas, which were 15 to 18. But they were substantial. They were somewhere between appetizer, small plates, and entrees. But absolutely worth it for the buck.
Yeah, is this also a bit of a backlash against some of these huge portions?
Yeah, I believe
that
so. Mostly the chain restaurant giant, as Steve used to call it, calorie per dollar kind of restaurants. I think it is a bit of a backlash. And again, the flavor's more intense on these dishes. You can as we said, try a great deal more. And I don't think we have to worry about the price on these. And, you know, Cameron doesn't have to worry about getting the price to where it should be, because you order three and you're easily at least at an entree.
I find we often spend more when we go to these type of restaurants than a place where you each order a traditional entree.
Well, and it's nice if you can't decide between a couple of things.
Yeah. Often I want to order the whole menu, and at these places you can order maybe
and I'm sure you
half
do.
Of it.
We almost did last
time to
night.
Time.
Yeah, no,
Veritas,
really. I mean,
they said that's not uncommon, is that people come in and order one of everything. Now, this really has been around longer than we think. If you think back when Barcelona first came, they were sort of trendsetters. And then Rigsby, was on the cutting edge of local sourcing and stuff like that, had his Cicchetti menu a long time ago. And then it became huge. And then it sort of died down. And now it's really exploded with Veritas and Manifesto and Luce and others, Barrel 44.
Well, I mean, and Vino did them as well. So.
Well, Vino is kind of full of that. It's just pretty much all they offer.
Yeah, right.
So do you think it's going to stay, or is this just the latest flash in the pan?
Who knows? I hope it stays. Like I said, I've always enjoyed eating this way, and you just didn't used to be able to find it everywhere. It's extremely difficult to ever cook this way at home. You know, most of your traditional stuff where you do, you know, a 6 to 10 ounce protein and a side and a salad, that's pretty easy to prepare at home. You know, this type of eating you can't do at home. So I really hope it is around to stay.
You can do it, but it takes all afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly.
Well, and much of your checkbook.
Indeed.
Yeah, exactly.
But support the places that do it and go urge your listeners to go out and try it, because it really is fun. We had four people at our table at Veritas last night. We ordered a total of 9 different things, 1 app, 2 desserts, and 6 plates. Shared them, cut them up, some passing and some sharing. It was great fun to taste them. I like this one better than others and stuff like that. It really is very social.
Well, it also encourages you to talk about the food, how it's been prepared, what it is you like.
Right. I think as palates and as eating becomes more sophisticated, which I think it has over the last 20 years in Columbus, Ohio, I think it's going to keep moving in this direction, because folks want to try different things.
And I'm anxious for you all to try Veritas, because the plates not only were very flavorful and tasty, but they had little toppings like microgreens, and they were each plate was absolutely beautiful.
This restaurant is in Delaware.
It's
gotten a lot of buzz. I think we probably talked about it the last 2 or 3 shows.
Columbus Monthly's top new restaurant of the year.
Which is incredible.
Yeah, up in Delaware. It's nestled in a little street off of Sandusky, across from the Strand. It's really a very small place. There are 5 high-top tables, 4 each, plus a bar that seats almost as many as the dining area. And they have, 2 appetizer plates, 14 small plates, and 4 after plates.
Now, do they have a patio?
No. It is a tiny little place, and it's about 2 doors down from their other restaurant, 1808 American Bistro.
And do they take reservations with only 5 tables?
We had reservations.
Okay.
So it was, a lot of sous vide, a lot of molecular gastronomy, very smart-looking plates, high-end ingredients. They had a sous vide egg. They had a sous vide braising of different things, sous vide salmon and stuff like that, so.
Were they expecting this kind of buzz when they first opened?
No. I think the owner was part of the Burgundy Room group.
Hmm.
And
who is the
one
owner?
His name is Josh. I don't think I know his last name. But he owns these 2 restaurants. He's interested in entering the Columbus market, which we talked about a little bit last night. One of the chefs used to be one of my favorite chefs at the Burgundy Room, Ben Graham, who works there a couple nights a week. But this was really impressive. You know, they say on the front cover, you can't just order bits and pieces. You got to take it the way we give it to you, which is sort of bold. But the dishes are beautifully presented, very creative, a little daring. You know, not everybody may like every plate, but I thought that our favorites were a pork belly steamed bun, pork cheeks with gnocchi. Are you getting a theme here?
Pork tenderloin.
Pork tenderloin
bacon
with spicy
risotto.
Grits and bacon risotto. But we had salmon.
Everything tastes better with
pork. We had
pork
salmon.
Fat.
There was a lovely-looking smoked trout at another table that I ogled.
Yeah.
And the wine pricing was wonderful.
Yeah, they wine by the glass.
Bonnie Dune Le Pousseur, which is $18 a bottle, retail was $25 on the food menu.
Wow.
Yeah.
And before 6:30, all the cocktails and wine by the glass are half price. So I was pleasantly
surprised. So fight the traffic and get up to Delaware before 6:30.
Let me tell you, we got there at 6 and it took us 50 minutes.
Yeah,
from
yeah.
No. River Road going up there.
That's what we did.
Yeah. A nightmare at that hour.
Yeah. So
it was fun.
Take sawmill up and cut over.
292-8513. We're talking about food and restaurants on All Sides Weekend. I'm Marilyn Smith. Joining me this morning, Rich Terapak, his son Rich, and Steve Stover. What else is new? We've got a couple of places, I think, opening around downtown, or at least there's some talk about places opening downtown, a French Market at Columbus Commons.
Yeah, there is talk about that. and I Googled it, and all I found was the Underground covering that it was coming. So
yeah,
is it a market or a
restaurant?
I think it's both, actually. It's okay. Chez Du Bon, and I think it's brought to you by the owners of Manifesto and
De Novo.
De Novo, yeah. But they're another spot downtown. It's supposed to be a market during the daytime that's also going to serve, you know, to-go food catering to the professional crowd downtown. And then at night, they're looking to open. It's going to be like a 50-seat high-end French bistro.
Yeah. Which we need in Columbus.
Which would be terrific. I mean, we've got Lantee, but that's, you know, awfully small.
And not really a bistro.
Right. We could certainly use another one.
What about parking down there?
Well, you've got the center garage.
The center garage is still right there.
It'll be a new build?
It's actually going to be in a space adjacent to the Commons, is what I read.
One of those things on High Street?
Yeah, exactly. Probably
one of those things, like a building?
Well, all of a sudden,
one of those buildings,
you've got the beautiful Common and all these buildings go up.
Yeah,
there'll be some retail and restaurant space.
Yeah, the last time I checked, there's still plenty of space down there. I mean, the Commons won't be up for a little while, but it's a great addition to downtown. I know a lot of people are very excited about it.
Yeah.
And also, you got the new Hills Market that opened downtown on Grant, more in the Discovery District side. That's a terrific looking place. If you haven't been down there, it's next to the Grass Skirt Tiki Hut on Grant.
My old garage, Wilson's garage, was there.
That's right. Went to Hills on, I can't remember what it was, probably Good Friday or something. And they had a fish fry, and they had big tables set up, probably seating maybe 20, 25 people. And it was just a lot of fun, you know. They had
so while everyone else was observing.
Yeah, I know. But Friday, you got to eat. I went. I must have been after 3 o'clock.
somewhere
in the world. That's right. It's small, but so you think it doesn't have as much. But one of the ways they've gotten past that is to have very narrow aisles in the food stuff.
You can't
go in both directions food aisles.
It is a tight space.
How big is it?
Total square footage, maybe, I don't know, 4,000 or 5,000. I mean,
yeah, probably 5,000.
It's not big.
It's like a small markety market.
Yeah. It's a high end market. I mean, they have, you know, finer ingredients, very fresh produce. It's a little on the pricey side, but, you know, so is the one up in Worthington.
And so it's Whole Foods.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, they also
get what you pay for.
Yeah. Prepared foods for people who want to come in and get lunch.
Yeah, they're catering to the downtown crowd as well.
Yeah. Now they've got a lot of different prepared items, and people line up, and they also have kind of meals to go that are nicely packaged. And you can take them home with, it was eggplant, fried eggplant, and something else on that Friday.
And similarly, a huge Whole Foods in Upper Wonderful.
And we'll talk about that in just a minute. We're going to take a break here, and then we'll return to All Sides Weekend.
Thanks for joining us today on 89.7 NPR News. It's 50 degrees with some sunshine. We'll reach a high near 55 degrees or so today, partly cloudy tonight, and a low of 30. Spring-like temperatures continue for the weekend, some sunshine and a high near 60 on Saturday. There's a chance of rain and a high of 65 on Sunday. Support comes from Ohio State's Ross Heart Hospital, helping to build healthy hearts with the 2013 Wellness Series. Heart disease is the leading cause of death in the United States, and regular physical activity is a great way to prevent it. Details about Ohio State's Wellness Series are at go.osu.edu/series. And support comes from Homeport Nobo on Long Condominiums, offering home ownership opportunities in the King Lincoln District, featuring a diverse community with a mix of historic and newly built homes and condos. Details at homeportohio.org/NOBO on Long. All Sides continues. This is 89.7 NPR News.
And welcome back to All Sides Weekend. We're talking about food and restaurants with WOSU food reviewers Rich Terapak and his son Rich, along with Steve Stover, who's a contributor to Edible Columbus magazine. And we were just talking about this new place in Delaware, and we do have a caller who wants to get a little more information about it. So just give us the particulars again, the name and the address.
Veritas Tavern. It's on Winter Street, just east of Sandusky Street, across from the Strand Theater.
And just dinner?
Just dinner, as far as I know. Yeah, it opens at 5.
And it's very small. Reservations
very are... small, but reservations are accepted.
Okay, 292-8513 if you have a question for our reviewers. Steve, before the break, you mentioned that the new Whole Foods in Upper Arlington, as the rest of us call it, has recently opened, I think early March.
It's huge, and it's similar to the other one, but I think it's a little better designed and a little less daunting.
The other one being the one on Sawmill?
The one on Sawmill. It's actually 161 at Sawmill. And it's a little better organized. It has much more focus on prepared foods. I mean, there's a whole... it seems like almost half the store with the obligatory olive bar, the roasted chicken, and a huge array of salad, hot and cold. Not so unlike
the market.
The market.
I was going to say, you guys got both of those?
Yeah.
This isn't fair.
It's smaller than that, but it is.
But we are getting one eventually.
They even have sushi and tacos, and so it's very similar. I think the food's a little better. I'm going to go and actually graze it. And one of the guys that we know from our various – one of the guys that teaches at Franklin Park Conservatory works there. And he said he'd take us on a little
food tour.
Secret tour. So
yeah.
It's fun.
Well, it couldn't be more as large as the one up on 161.
It is not.
It must be about maybe half the size,
as daunting.
Which is good, yeah. You can't kind of get lost in the one up north.
Oh, yeah, I agree. That's – lucky you guys.
292-8513, and we're being joined this morning by Michael. Hi.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Pretty well.
Good. Thanks for all the food talk. I just enjoyed some delicious beef jerky on the road here on you guys.
That's a small plate.
Lots of protein.
That's a lot of work. But, hey, do you guys know anything about La Tavola? It used to be up on 33, and I've got a buddy of mine who told me that he heard they're going to be opening up in Grandview.
Oh, really?
That would be news. Ricky Lopez and his wife, Krista, they currently own Need. right across from the convention center. Well, I'm going to call them right away because having a La Tavola in Grandview would be a fabulous thing. And that's, I think, I like that style of his cooking better than Need. I love Need, but it's more southwestern Mexican funky.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love the tacos, but nothing beats that daggone lasagna. So
yeah, you're right. Well, let's hope it's all true.
Yeah, thanks for the info.
Yeah.
Hey, my pleasure. Have a great day.
Thanks very much. And it's hard to imagine a place in Grandview where this restaurant would go.
I know. Is there any room left? Could it be on Fifth? There's some.
There's some stores.
There's all those new work lifestyle developments going up. Who knows? Maybe it's going into one of those.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of building going on in Grandview right now.
There sure is. We did get an email from Darcy who wants to know if you know anything about Crest Tavern Bistro in Clintonville. They say that they plan to grow a bunch of their food on the roof. Maybe we'll have cattle grazing.
Well, I know about the Crest Tavern. It's an old favorite of some of my fraternity brothers who hang out there. It's generally been more of a bar. I heard a glimmer that they were going to move more into food, but growing their own food on the roof would be
growing something on the roof.
Produce costs have gotten so expensive that a lot of people, you know, who didn't used to think of it for being green or anything like that, are talking about growing their own vegetables just as a cost savings measure. I've talked to a couple restaurant owners who talk about, you know, especially those that serve at lunchtime, that it's tough to raise your prices even by a dollar or so to make up for the rising cost of produce, you know, which is brought on by gasoline and several other factors. And so a lot of people are thinking about doing this just to save a bit of money.
Well, you can also
do it organically.
Yeah, you can control your product more. I mean, I grow, you know, four different types of tomatoes in my backyard, and I mean, I can't buy them from the store anymore. They just aren't any
good. Sometimes shares them, too.
I share them all the time.
292-8513, and Eileen is joining us and wants to move the conversation east. Hi.
Hi, Eileen.
Hi there. I live in New Albany, and I'm very excited because there's a great restaurant here that opened, I believe, last year. It's called Ella.
Ella,
yep.
Eat local, love art.
Yep.
And it's together with the Haley Gallery, and the combination is dynamite. I mean, it's beautiful art, but then the food that's served looks like art. I mean, it's really fresh, it's delicious, and I didn't know if you guys had any comments or any knowledge of it.
I keep meaning to get there. Have you guys been?
No.
Have not, but I
need to get in there.
I have had some of the food in another location. They participated in an event at the Renaissance, and I met the owner and her husband. It's a great effort, and it also benefits, I believe, cancer in some cancer research in some way. So
are they open for lunch?
They are not open for lunch. They're open for dinner.
Okay.
But they really, every time we've gone by there, it's just packed. I mean, the food is incredible. I guess what we liked is it's very fresh. We're vegetarians, and they were willing to, because everything's so fresh, they modified meals for us on the spot, and it was incredibly delicious. So just wanted to comment.
It's great to know that they can do the vegetarian modification. A lot of folks call in about that, and we don't have a...
Yeah, so thank you for putting that out there.
Thanks.
Yeah. Okay, have a good day.
Thanks so much.
You
too. 292-8513, and Sam is joining us and does want to talk about vegetarian restaurants. Sam?
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm calling actually here from Dublin, and I know I heard about Veritas and other restaurants. Is there anything particularly about that cater to vegetarian community? I've ran into a lot of good ones in Louisville recently from my travel, but not sure what you have here in Columbus.
Well, it depends on if you're talking about fine dining. One of the places that we don't think of as vegetarian is Lavash in southern Clintonville. And Nasser Latif has always done a spectacular job. And he also has an array of gluten-free, vegetarian, and vegan things. So that would be – and at the high end, I think – Rigsby's has always had a nice balance of those kind of things.
And where is that at?
Rigsby's is in the Short North.
Okay.
Rigsby's Kitchen.
Excellent.
Right on High Street.
Did you mention Udipi? When the phone broke up a little bit. Which is at 2001 East Granville, Dublin Granville.
Okay.
It is South Indian, therefore meat-free.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We've had several calls in the past about UDP and hear great things, so you may want to give that a shot for vegetarian.
My Indian friends say it's like one of their favorites.
Their favorites, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Thank you so much for your call this morning, 292-8513. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. And we do have kind of a list of vegetarian restaurants, I think some specializing in lunch, some in dinner.
And so, yeah, some are not strictly vegetarian. Udipi is, but there's Whole World is an all-vegetarian restaurant.
Yes.
That's in Clintonville. There's North Star, which always has at least three or four vegetarian options.
Get the burger.
On their menu. Yeah, their black bean vegetarian burger is great.
Yeah.
Catalina's Corner Cafe down in Vic Village does some good stuff. Not entirely vegetarian.
Okay, well, that's certainly a good start. 292-8513. And Tim is joining us from Clintonville. Good morning.
Yes, thank you for your time as always. I have a question about an international market that's supposedly just opened within the last week or so. It's on Morse Road and Carl Road. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. I think Saraga.
Hmm. Well, that area is where a lot of African and Somali people live, and also a lot of the African and Somali restaurants are centered around that area. It's interesting enough that the local Kroger sells goat meat. So I wouldn't be surprised if that would be, it may be a more African-themed international restaurant, but I wouldn't be surprised about that.
Do you know, is it African-themed, do you know?
It's actually international, and I was there supposedly the day they were going to have their grand opening, and they didn't open for some reason. And then I went the next day, and they were kind of sort of open. I was able to do some shopping, but it didn't appear that they were really ready to open. The reason I was calling about, since this is a food-themed hour, is that they had at the front of the store, they seemed to sell hot foods, although there wasn't really anything available at that point. And I was wondering if you've heard anything about what types of food they might be offering.
No, I have not. I'm sorry. It proves the old theme that we hear from a lot of food critics is don't go for the first 4 weeks. Give them a chance.
Yeah. I'll keep an eye on that. Yeah, I get up on the north side near there for work quite a bit. So, I'll be sure to keep an eye
we'll check it out.
So it's at Morrison
Carly's.
At Morrison Carly's. It's for, I can't remember what used to be in there, but it replaced that. The store itself is very nice in terms of they're having a pretty wide selection and pretty international type atmosphere. So I was just wondering about the hot food. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. And we will keep our eyes open for that. 292-8513. We're on All Sides Weekend. We're talking about food and restaurants here in Columbus. And we were talking about some new places opening downtown. I understand Jenny's Ice Cream is opening a boutique around the Commons as well.
It'll be open
seasonal.
With the dance. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be seasonal.
For example,
and with
there's a big event, that they'll be open.
And is it Smashburger that's going in there? There's a burger.
Mikey's. It's called Mikey's Midnight Slice. That's right.
Which has always been a really popular food truck. Yeah, are they going to have a brick and mortar down there? Or?
I think they're taking over. There is a little
shack
kind of thing. It's
actually nice.
It's nice. It's all aluminum and glass, so it's not really a shack.
Well, Marilyn brought up the Arch City Grill. I wanted to hear about that. Arch City Tavern.
Arch City is in the Short North on High Street. I understand that that's kind of an upscale bar, tavern. I haven't been there myself, but people are talking about it.
I haven't been in. It's in the Short North in the old Havana space, which is kind of the center of the Short North on High Street. It looks real nice. I've yet to get in, but it looks like they redid it entirely, remodeled the inside. There's some, it looks like some of the walls are some local artwork, and then hardwood floors. They're billing themselves also as a gastro pub, kind of very high-end bar food.
It almost seems like these places have to offer food, and it has to be high-end bar food anymore to attract the kind of clientele that they're looking for.
It does these days, especially in that neighborhood. You're not going to, you can't get away with, half arsing it with,
this is family radio.
Burgers and fries.
Exactly. You can't get away with burgers and fries and nachos anymore and buffalo wings.
Yeah, their menu looks pretty interesting. I think this is one sandwich, but it's short rib sirloin, chuck, and brisket.
Well, that's grilled, their burger, isn't it?
Yeah, I read about that.
Yeah, with grilled red onion, avocado, seasoned bacon, cilantro, Munster cheese, and fresh cut fries. All for $13, so you could feed two.
292-8513, and Seamus has been patiently waiting. Good morning.
Good morning. We moved to Westerville about 7 years ago from the metropolitan New York, Connecticut area around Darien, Greenwich, that particular area. What we can't find out here in the Columbus area are independent wine stores. We can find plenty of supermarket wines because the law has been slanted. There are only two wholesale distributors, evidently, in the city, Glazer and Heidelberg. And what we cannot find whatsoever are any French Bordeaux or Burgundies as part of the selection. Well, certainly not in the supermarket. And there's only one wine store that I've seen has even a few classified Bordeaux, for example, and that would be Carando's down along Riverside.
Well, the largest selection in town is at Anderson's, the general store. There are two or three of them. There's one north, one east, and one on Sawmill, and they have by far the largest selection of wines in Columbus. I know what you mean about, but
there are some independent ones. There's one on
Gentiles.
Gentiles. The Twisted Vine in Grandview.
One on East Main Street called the Holiday Wine Store.
And
Mike Wilson's Holiday Wine Store on Gould and Main.
Oh, that's bikes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's McLaren's, I think.
And McLaren's.
McLaren, right.
But yeah, but Mike owns, now
my,
owns Holiday.
My issue is, of the wines that were classified in 1855, which are 60, there's only, you see Chateau Bonnet, you see a few of the, what are called the village wines, and a few lesser Bordeaux's here and there, but any of the classified stuff, Louisville, Lascasse, any of the first growths are not even available anywhere in this city. I've only seen a bottle or two of Mouton here and there. I've seen one bottle of La Miste Aubrion, and of all places, it was in a supermarket over in Albany. But essentially, the wine trade in this city has been dumbed down. It's a city of 1.2 million, I think. And this, you would not even know the French make any wine by the selection on this show.
Well, for us Rhone people, I think we have a much better choice.
You do, yes.
But I also think that you might want to check with the Refectory, because they have a probably one of the best wine lists in the Midwest. They probably have some, and we just went to a wine tasting there on Monday with new French wines, $10, 10 wines, bread, and you might check out their wine list, and also they have a lot of shows. But as to Bordeaux, regrettably, I think you're probably right.
I think you are, yeah.
Well, the story you get from the people who actually wholesale the wines is that they're on allocation with the wines, or, and here's the insulting part, they say that the people in Columbus do not understand those wines, nor can they pronounce the names, so therefore it's not worth their while financially to even carry the wines. And I said to this particular individual, who is a wine buyer for Giant Eagle, that he controls an awful lot of clout. He said, you have to understand that people in this town, if they're buying supermarket wines, buy pretty much at a price point $20 and under. And I said, well, why don't you let me worry about whether I can afford the wine? You don't even carry the wine, so therefore, on this side of town, there's a restaurant named Bel Largo, and of all things I found on their wine list were some Domaine Romani Conti Red Burgundies.
Oh, good.
Which are, it's astounding to even see that wine anywhere.
And, out of his cellar.
And, yeah, they and the general manager of Bel Largo, I said, where did you get those wines? Because they're tough to get anywhere in the world. And he said, well, we just thought we'd have something on the wine list that would kind of draw people's attention. And I said, for $2,000 a bottle, I guess you're doing that. So.
Well, there are a lot of private collections in town that have wonderful wines. And I think maybe you should, cozy up to the folks at Anderson's or another wine store and think about asking them to order in by the case some of the particular wines you're interested in, because there's certainly plenty of information on
well,
wines.
The gentleman over there, Fritz, who was their manager for 20 years, got let go, and I don't care to know why. But there is a very nice woman named Michelle is over there, but she said she's going to run out what few Bordeaux they have. I mean, speak of Chateau Palmer and Léoville Lascasse, she has a few of those over there. What I was interested in doing, though, was actually getting somebody who was interested in duplicating Steve Spurrier's wine tasting from 1976. The problem is the wholesalers say they can't get any of the wines, and they keep on coming up with reasons why they can't sell the wines. So essentially, the entire French drinking clientele in this city of 1.2 million is pretty much shut out. So most of my friends over here in Westerville, I said, well, where do you buy your wines? They said, well, if we're on business trips, we go back east, or we're over Chicago, or in some cases they go over to Indiana. So, but it's a rigged system here in terms of the supermarkets. We're at the mercy of the supermarkets.
There's one privately owned supermarket called Weiland's. Have you ever been there?
There's a very nice young man named David who used to be in the North Market there.
Yeah.
And
he'd be a good one to source things for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, when I get desperate, what I do is I make trips back to Connecticut myself, and I pick up a few cases, because the pricing structure in this state is astounding, too. It's just so high.
You're right. You're right about that, and we've talked about that on the show before.
Yeah.
And thanks so much for your call this morning, Seamus. We need to take a break here. We'll be back in just a minute on All Sides Weekend.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. Coming up on the next On Point, all eyes on North Korea. More dead lawmen and a Texas manhunt. Our weekly news roundtable goes behind the headlines. That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
On Point this afternoon at 1 here on 89.7 NPR News. And stay right here in 20 minutes beginning at noon. Fresh Air will be here, and Fresh Air will look back at the life of Roger Ebert, who died yesterday. So stay with us. It's 50 degrees in downtown Columbus with some sunshine. We'll warm up to a high near 55 today, partly cloudy tonight, and a low of 30. Some sunshine and a high near 60 for Saturday. Support for 89.7 comes from Home Care Assistance. In-home care for older adults with a philosophy of promoting health, well-being, and quality of life for all clients, no matter their limitations. Information on Home Care Assistance is at 481-8888. That's 481-8888. And support comes from the Columbus Jazz Orchestra presenting Piano Men, the music of Billy Joel, Elton John, and Stevie Wonder, featuring guests Chester Gregory and Dave Powers. Thursday, April 11th through Sunday the 14th at the Southern Theater. Details and tickets at jazzartsgroup.org. All Sides Weekend continues on 89.7 NPR News.
And we're back here on All Sides Weekend. I'm Marilyn Smith. We're talking with Steve Stover of Edible Columbus Magazine, along with Rich Terapak and his son Rich, who do reviews here at WOSU. And Tommy has been waiting for quite some time. Hi. You with us, Tommy?
Yes. Hello?
Hello. Go ahead.
Hello. Hello. Okay, earlier a gentleman had called in about international market.
Yes.
It's Sagara?
Saraga, I think you said, yeah.
Yeah, and actually you're correct about the demographic, but actually the owners are Korean.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Okay. And I just wanted to point that out, and I'll take my comment off the air.
It's good to have a Korean grocery. There's a lot of Korean stuff going on.
Is it actually open now?
No. About, I think, mid of this week, about earlier, like Tuesday or Monday, it was going to open, but I think they encountered an inspection, and I guess they had to delay their grand opening.
Yeah, that's quite typical in a lot of shops and restaurants.
Well, thanks very much for that information. We appreciate it. 292.
You have a wonderful day.
You too. Thank you. 292-8513, and Marjorie has been waiting. Go ahead.
Good morning. There is a new bakery in German Village off of 3rd Street that has opened up either yesterday or today. It's featuring sort of American cuisine, American cake.
Well, we're certainly seeing a lot of new places opening lately, which must be reflective of the economy kind of coming back a little bit, especially when there are these small enterprises. People are getting loans.
People are getting loans.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And do you know the name of it, Marjorie?
It's called Kitties.
Kitties?
Kitties. And, yeah, American Bakery. It is in between Katzinger's and Pistachio Vera in German Village.
It's a good location.
Imagine that.
I hope they're up for some
right
competition.
On 3rd. I mean, there's not much space between Katzinger's and Pistachio Vera. So
$2.
Jeez. Wonderful.
Yeah. They found a really neat little
But it's not a restaurant. It's a bakery.
Correct. It's a bakery. They have coffee and cupcakes as well.
So they do have some seating just for coffee and
cakes.
Pastries?
Yes, absolutely.
Good to know. We'll have to check that out. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for your call, 292-8513. And we've been talking about a bunch of places opening, especially in the downtown area. And, Rich, you went to a place called Grill and Grilled.
I just went over to scope it out. I have not eaten there yet. When you set the list around, it's at 20 North High Street, and it opened without any fanfare, I guess, because I'm about a half a block from there from my office.
Well, so. And so many of these places do have soft openings just because of the problems that we talked about that people encounter trying to open up a food-based business. Any number of things can go wrong in the first week or so.
It looks as if it's serving something on the style of piatta or chipotle, but you start with a lavash or a bowl, and then you can add chicken kebab, gyro, grilled steak kebab, beef gyro, etc. Then you pick toppings, And then you can throw on a side of hummus.
Sounds like baba. A familiar theme.
Yeah, this is expanding to every different cuisine. Yeah. We've now got the sushi one also downtown, Maki
Do. There's another one like this, a Middle Eastern one.
Right, and there's another sushi one on campus, I believe. So, yeah, the whole Chipotle Piatta style of dining is apparently...
See, that makes me
at least
nervous.
People are trying
it. Yeah. You get up to the counter, you don't know quite what it is you want, you don't know what they have. Especially, you know, the first couple of
times
you
go. There's a lot of pressure.
There is pressure. Yeah. I mean, not that it's life or death.
You gotta make choices.
But you really do have to kind of know
people
what you're
do like to make it their own way. You know, not everybody. This, you know, this appeals to a certain type of person.
Have it your way.
Well, and it also cuts out servers.
Yes,
and
indeed.
Tipping.
Yep. And you can get 2 pieces of baklava for only $2.50.
Well, that's reason to go right there. So it is more of a Mideast-based cuisine. It's not hamburgers and...
No.
You slide your tray and you get put all your specials. Hold the pickles, hold the lettuce.
So is this a chain or is this an independent?
I don't know. I don't know.
Well, we have many places to go and explore. One of the new things in town is Rigsby's has a new happy hour.
New. Because that's one of my favorite happy hour places, and they have the Cicchetti menu, or is there, maybe they're doing something different.
I think I read something about grilled cheese.
Ooh. They also have hidden deep in the recesses of their menu a really good burger. When I did, it was probably 10 years ago, 15 years ago, that was the best burger. They have an Elena Christina bun, perfectly grilled burger. They grind it there.
Is that at lunch only, or...?
It just comes and it goes. When I had this article in about the best burgers in town, he immediately took it off the menu. So I get calls from my friends saying, he doesn't have it. So I had to call Kent.
Now, this is a grilled cheese-based happy hour. You can snag a grilled cheese on Mondays for $1.
Wow.
That's certainly worth a trip to the Short North.
I'm going.
And the rolls are made right there in the Elena Christina Bakery, and everything with an A here. That should be quite a draw.
I'm there. And they have the little pots of wine for like $13.
And you go to really Jenny's for dessert.
And, of course, Rigsby's does have limited parking in the back.
And valet that's free at lunch, or used to be. We forget about that. It really is sort of a treasure.
It's
25
like,
years almost, I think.
Yeah, kind of like Spaggio got Grandview going. Rigsby's got the Short North.
He was a pioneer in the location, in the local sourcing, and in the small plates. He's sort of really always been at the cutting edge.
292-8513, and John is joining us from Lancaster this morning. Go ahead.
Yeah, about the guy that was talking about the French wines, the Village Wine and Bistro in Canal Winchester has a wine shop, and I know they have some French wines. I'm not sure how many, and I think I called you folks a few years ago about their food and how good it was, and I think it was rated, you guys rated it, one of the best new restaurants. They had moved downtown. I don't know if you knew that or not, more of a upscale industrial look front, but they do still have their wine shop.
Oh.
Well, this is called the Wine Bistro?
The Village Wine and Bistro in Canal Winchester.
Okay.
And when you say downtown, do you mean do they have another location in downtown Columbus or in Canal Winchester?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, right. They used to be a kind of about a half a mile or a mile outside of Canal Winchester, and now they're right in historic downtown Canal Winchester.
Okay. On High Street there?
Yes. It's on High Street. Near Shades.
Yeah.
Right across the street from Shades.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for your call this morning, John. And Eva is joining us and also has some comments about the availability of wine. Go ahead.
Hi. I was just thinking about Carfagna's, which is a market on 161 and been there for years. They have a nice wine section and do carry some French wine. Mm-hmm. They've also been willing to
order
for you, and I've gotten several cases there over the last year or two. So I would highly recommend taking a look at that section, and, of course, the caller may discover all the other wonderful things that are in that market.
Indeed. And also Vincenzo's is another one up at 161 and Sawmill, Caddy Corner, to that kind of the Whole Foods corner.
Where the Trader Joe's is.
Yeah. Exactly, where the Trader Joe's is. Vincenzo's, they, first of all, a great little restaurant, not many tables. It's a good to-go place, but they also do a lot of wine ordering from wholesalers that they can order on behalf of folks.
Both have small but very carefully selected wines. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very good wines.
And I would also plug the Twisted Vine down on Fifth Avenue in Grandview.
And what's the one?
But if there are only a couple of distributors, how are they getting wines, you know, that would fill Seamus's requirements, for example?
I don't think they have to order from those two distributors. There are other distributors throughout the state that they can use.
There are at least a half a dozen. They're the big dogs, to be sure.
Right, they're the ones who supply most of all the restaurants
and some of the others.
Vantage, and there are a couple of small distributors that are bringing in sort of unique French wine. So it's more that you have to ask and you have to encourage the people.
And you're not going to find them in the grocery store, ever.
I don't even buy wine in grocery store. But places like the Andersons have
I saw you with those two boxes of Merlot.
Twist-off caps, too.
292-8513. You can also reach us through email at allsides@wosu.org. And Beth is joining us this morning. Go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to mention a restaurant that's been around Columbus for a while. It's Marone's Italian Village in Bethel Center. The family, several years ago, sold the restaurant, and the service and food kind of slipped a little, but the family didn't buy it back, but they're back in the management of the restaurant again, and the food is right back up there to an excellent standard. They have a wonderful buffet Wednesday nights. And some very interesting pizzas on their buffet. We were just there last Wednesday. They had an omelet pizza that was quite unique and very delicious.
They also have a potato pizza, don't they?
Yes, they're famous for their potato pizza, too. So for those of you who went to Marone's and maybe thought it had slipped a little, it's right back up there again. So thank you very much.
Thank you. That's a restaurant that's in a little shopping center.
Yeah, it's in Bethel Center on Bethel Road. It's been there since, I think, the 70s.
Thanks so much for your call this morning. And, of course, we are delighted to have Steve Stover here, who, along with his wife, trolled Bethel.
That's right.
Bethel Road, and counted up a number of restaurants and probably annoyed every other driver.
42 ethnic restaurants. Well, I was in the left lane with my clicking my ticker on, so going 20.
So eventually, you did turn left.
No. But Mary's busy writing down. We thought this would be interesting, and it really was pretty amazing.
You can record 42, on your cell phone.
42
phones,
ethnic. You could. 42 ethnic restaurants alone, plus little grocery stores and stuff like that. It's really interesting. That
it's sort of an incubator for new and ethnic restaurants.
That's all between 315 and Riverside on Bethel?
Yeah, I think
between 315 and Riverside, but there's a large ethnic cuisine, a large Hispanic community, a lot of apartments in the area north of Henderson and south of 161, which is obviously driving a lot of that.
Well, there is a small Mexican restaurant up there, and one of my colleagues says it's the best place in the city for Mexican food, and of course I can't remember the name of it.
Well, there's La Casita.
No,
Cucos is on Henderson.
No, right. I think you're
La Casita is up there. And of course, Los Guachos. Yeah. That's the food truck that opened a sit-down restaurant it's on Go Down Road, just north of Bethel.
It's the same one that was on
Kamal Sullivan, goes there all the time. The guy that owns the refectory will slip in there because it's open late and get a bite sometimes. And speaking of which, I went to a wine tasting at the refectory Monday night. 10 wines, new French wines, $10.
Well, you certainly can't beat that.
Yeah.
And they were good.
Steve, you've been holding up a little bit of a it's an advertisement of sorts for the Taste of Dine Originals. We talk about Dine Originals each show, I believe.
Yeah, we finally didn't mention them yet today.
and it's going to be held on May 9th. It is held at Capital University.
For the second year in a row.
For the second year in a row.
Which is great.
It looks expensive, but it certainly is worth it. It's $100, and you can eat all day long.
Yeah, and drink.
And drink.
It's $100. Well, yeah, all the food and wine that you can drink.
But it's $100 that goes to charity.
Right.
Yeah.
It benefits the Buckeye Ranch. So that's actually how you can buy your tickets, is at BuckeyeRanch.com.
Or get on DineOriginals.com.
Yeah, we've talked about this event every year. It's one of the best in Columbus. This is the independent restaurant owners. There's, I believe, about 50 of them now. All of the actual chefs usually participate in this themselves. So it's also the worst night to go out and eat of the year.
Well, at a restaurant.
They're doing it at Capital University's Field House, which they did last year, which was a great location.
Oh,
they
yeah.
finally had enough room for all the demand they have.
Is it air conditioned?
Oh yeah,
yes.
Yeah. It was great. I mean, last year they had a band. This year they're featuring a bunch of different artisans, cheesemakers, honeymakers.
It's also easy to park there. So.
Yeah, there's plenty of parking.
And it includes wine.
Yeah,
it includes wine glass when you walk. A souvenir wine glass when you walk.
Well, it's more than wine because if the distilleries are there, they have all sorts of
distilleries, local microbrewers. This is one of the best food events of the year. It's very casual. Great place to go with friends. 6 to 9 o'clock on May 9th.
Well, I'm sure it keeps the Bexley police busy, too.
Yeah. And
you
lucky,
guys can walk.
Lucky for us, we can walk.
You can take your mother for her birthday.
Oh, yes, that is.
292-8513. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. We're talking about food and restaurants here with Steve Stover of Edible Columbus Magazine and Rich Terapak, along with his son, Rich, who do food reviews here at WOSU. Any more new things to bring up?
Did we talk about Pearl last time? I wasn't here last time.
We did. Yeah, we did talk about Pearl last time. One of the I read there's the revival of the brewery district continues. There is a place that used to exist in the 90s in the Short North. It was kind of one of the places not quite as founding as Rigsby's, but Fresno in the Short North was a very popular spot. It's where Union is now, I believe. But they are thinking of reopening that spot in the old Hagen's down in the brewery district. In that area, there used to be a real popular area of town. Now is home to a Shadowbox, World of Beer. McCaskey's just opened for dinner only in the old Hanky space. And there's also White Rabbit, I believe, is going in there. I read something about that recently.
It's very charming down there. And now they've opened Front Street, haven't they, so that it's...
Well, it's a portion of Front Street that goes in two directions.
It's two-way now, right. But things are more accessible. But, a kind of a rebirth down there. Definitely the restaurants are catering to more of the 25 and over crowd, young professionals. But it's great to see that area coming back because it's such a pretty part of town and, a historic district. So it's really good to see.
And lots of housing and apartments going up in that.
And, I think they're shooting for a May 1st opening for the Fresno down there. But, in restaurant world, that's probably June 1st.
292-8513. We have time for Steve. Go ahead, Steve.
Hi, Ann. Thanks for having me on. Hey, I wanted to mention a place that I think is really awesome in the Harrison West area. It's Cafe Apropos. It's on 3rd.
I think we've talked about that in the past.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
It's a real cool little place. It's a kind of a European theme type place. They have coffee that they roast themselves and. Nice little espresso bar, and they also have a very nice patio, and they have a very nice wine shop, too. So.
Yeah, I was thinking of their wine shop.
They have a really nice selection, some of those Michael David wines that are sort of culty wines and stuff like that.
It's a good place.
We had lunch there, Rich and I did.
And you got a beer with everything, didn't you? Wasn't that the draw at the time? We had a caller who said that he always got a sandwich with a beer and this with a beer. Apparently, that's the apropos part. They must also have Wi-Fi because you see people in there with their laptops open.
Yeah, it's a real great place. They do wine tastings also every other Friday night. So I believe it's 5 tastings for $10. And a nice little selection of cheeses and, sandwiches and so forth also. So.
Yep.
And is that on the corner of Michigan or is that?
Yeah, Michigan and 3rd.
3rd Michigan.
So it's very convenient to even to the downtown, to the arena area, or even to the Grandview area. So it's a very nice place.
Yep.
Well, and
of
course, in that area around Harrison West, they're going to get a lot of street traffic as well. Mm-hmm. People, do walk in that neighborhood. We're just about out of time. We've been talking about food and restaurants with our reviewers, Rich Terapak, along with his son, Rich, and Steve Stover, who's a contributor to Edible Columbus Magazine. We'll be back again to talk about restaurants in early May. This is listener-supported WOSU 89.7, WOSU HD1 Columbus. Streaming on the web at WOSU.org, 89.7 NPR News, your all-day NPR news station, a service of WOSU Public Media. It's 12 o'clock. News from NPR is coming up next.